There you go. Yes, the gang is back together again. We were all together on A-Day. Here we are again Sunday night with a Barncast Live, and we're going to recap A-Day from a little bit of a different perspective. We're not going to be like, oh, who was the best player and who was our favorite? What was our favorite play and all that kind of stuff? There was a lot of narratives or not a lot of storylines headed into the spring game that I think a lot of people were concerned about. There's a lot of different things where people are like, oh, my God, here we go again. We're going to talk about some of those and then talk about how we feel after A-Day and see if we feel better, worse. I think they silenced some things, answered some questions, and we're going to have some fun with it. And then we may have some story time if we get done.
Get some milk and cookies.
Some milk
and cookies. You want to stay for the story time.
You want to stay for the story.
Yeah, but I want to start.
Most uncomfortable elevator ride I've been on in a hot minute.
I thought we would never reach the bottom.
You could feel it. Like, it was just so thick.
Okay. All right.
We're just sitting in it.
Let's lock in, and then we'll get to that at the end. All right. So I want to start off with the offensive line. It's no question. It's no secret. Auburn's had just really bad offensive line play for multiple years. The storyline throughout spring is essentially the defensive line is crushing the offensive line. In particular, can't run the ball, can't get drives started. We're second long, third and long, pretty much every scrimmage, all the 11-on-11 time. After watching the game unfold, I'll go one by one. Do you feel like they silenced that narrative? They confirmed it. Do you feel better? Do you feel worse? I'll just kind of open the floor.
Go ahead, Zach.
Well, let's start with a caveat, if y'all are okay with me kind of putting this blanket statement out there. It's hard to fully grade something when one of the tackles, like, we haven't seen. And it might be, I mean, arguably one of the biggest portal additions with Stan Ramil. So we're limited with the information that we've got. And then, you know, the Cole Best snapping thing, like, I don't think that's an issue, but it's weird that that happened yesterday. Yeah. And so that's going to be something that needs to be addressed. And Kyle, I don't know if you said it in the group chat we're in, if you said it on your show, but, you know, the fact that it's Cole Best, like, I'm not really worried about that because he's the kind of guy who's going to
– visit anybody else.
He's probably snapped the ball 4,000 times since yesterday just because that's the kind of guy that he is. Like, I'm not worried about that aspect of it. Look, I think there were really good moments. You know, Joe Simmons, I thought was really impressive, both in pass protection and you know, paving the way for the run, especially on some of those Jeremiah Cobb runs. Joe Simmons was a big part of that. And then on the interior, you know, they didn't get the push consistently. But also, like, when you look at the starting offense, I kind of wish they would have ran it more because that's when they found more of their success, especially when Jeremiah Cobb had, like, what, 4 or 5 touches for, like, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you take that. And Omar Mattson had some bursts. Like, when Auburn's starting offense was running the football without Byram, we're not even counting Byram when they blew stuff dead when there's nobody within 8 yards of them, they were able to run the ball. So I thought that was good. There was a lot that I liked about the offensive line, but hard to fully grade it without knowing who your other tackle is and his health. And, you know, is Joe Simmons going to be moved back to right tackle? Like, you know, there's a lot of variables there.
Yeah, they looked better to me than I expected them to. And I think it's because of that narrative we had heard all spring. I was very surprised with the push they got running the football. That surprised me. I was expecting a lot of, you and I even talked about it, Zach. I was like, I don't want to see like 2 yards per carry after A-Day, even though we don't need to overreact anything. I was afraid of plays getting blown up in the backfield. I think they ran the ball effectively. I was Zach makes a great point. Probably the best point of all is that we need to understand it's an incomplete grade because you don't have the offensive line you're going to have out there when the season starts, allegedly. And then what does that do? Does he go into right tackle? Does that move Simmons to right tackle, which fortifies the offensive line even more? It strengthens two positions by making one move. I'm gonna recite a story that Zach and I talked about that I think is also as a unit and the cohesiveness and communication. They impressed me with how it was second and eight, and they got 7 yards, and the ref was fiddle-fouling around, not knowing if it was a first down to measure. They were lined up on the stinking ball.
Bro.
Ready to go.
That tempo was nuts.
And that, to me, I get it, but you have to be able to be on the same page, cohesive, and communicate to all. Now, somebody's leading that, and I suspect it's the one that people are going to complain about having bad snaps. Somebody had to step up and communicate and all be on the same page and be a leader. And I think it was Best that did that. So those are the positives that I saw.
Yeah. So here's my thing. First off, shout out to Papa Toodle in the chat tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Thought Shadarius.
Who led linebackers and tackles on Saturday? Just real quick.
I believe it was Shadarius Toodle.
Yes, that's right. It was.
That's right.
Good.
Shout out to him.
He got some oohs and ahs on that tackle for loss he had coming off the edge. The way he closed on it, that was really good. But going back to offensive line, like my biggest thing is, can they get any push at all? Like, are they just not capable of, you know, getting any kind of forward momentum in the run game? It's going to be tough when you don't have Byram as an option in this type format, but I was really impressed, particularly between the tackles. To me, it was like that was kind of the strength, and then where they struggled was when they tried to go outside a few times. And then to Zach's point, you don't have your starting left tackle. So does that, you know, aspect of the offensive line, does that help when he comes back? But, like, man, they punched him in the mouth a few times. There was some really tough runs, particularly when Nakai Davenport went in, some really physical runs, and they were those offensive line were pushing them and finishing some drives. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, if we can do that and you add in Byram making them have to wait that one extra split second to make sure he doesn't have the ball, they're pushing them off the ball with no threat whatsoever from Byram. Now, it wasn't like they won every matchup, but they won enough to me to feel like, okay, there's something here. Like, there's something there unlike what the storylines have been leading up to A-Day. So I was extremely excited from that standpoint. Now, on as far as pass blocking goes, I mean, that could be a whole nother conversation. There were some sacks that, you know, were they really sacks? Could he have escaped, or, you know, did they let some of the pressure get to him? That's so hard to grade in that type of format. But as far as run blocking goes, I was pretty pumped.
Well, and just the general back and forth of it all, right? Like, I think that's the best case scenario, is one side of the ball not dominating the other. But also, like, so I was talking with somebody at church earlier today, and like, he follows Auburn sports very closely.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was pretty upset with, you know, he's like, man, I'm just upset with the turnovers, and I'm upset with, you know, Byram not hitting guys in stride. And I'm like, well, like, just being honest, like, what'd you expect? And he's like, well, I thought he'd be, I'm like, no, like, you know this, like, the defense right now is better than the offense. Like, did you really think that it was going to be perfect? And if so, why did you think that? Because it hasn't been that way at all this spring. And so some of this, I'm like, what were y'all, I don't know. Some of the response to Saturday has been not surprising, but a little eye-opening.
Well, not surprising is the understatement of the year. And we try to tell people, and you try to help people watch it with a different point of view. People can watch it how they want, but understand that there's context. I'm going to go on a limb and say this, okay? I don't care. This narrative that we always hear every spring, that the defense is ahead of the offense, is true, but I'm going to take that one step further and say this defense is probably going to be elite. So not only is the defense ahead of the offense,
thank you,
you're competing against a defense that's probably going to be pretty stinking good. And I'll say it again. When you watch this defense in the spring and the fall, and then you line up against Baylor, it's going to look a lot different, and they're going to be a lot more prepared. why are we just automatically, you know, crapping on the offense when the offense might be good and the defense just may be elite?
Yeah.
Well, and then Daryl, you and I did a show Friday, the day before A-Day, and we were kind of listing out the things that we wanted. And one of the things I said is I wanted to see the defense force turnovers because
and that's I warned been the big you thing that was not going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, now we see the impact of it, but I do think it's good for this defense because I mean, once again, like the defense, I think is going to be the strength of this team. And like, we knew that going into it.
Yeah.
And the fact that the defense is in a situation where maybe they're being a little bit more aggressive and they have the athleticism to make plays, like, I don't know. I just don't see how that's bad towards Auburn, but
especially it would be discouraging, I think, if it was like so bad that you didn't have hardly any success. You know what I mean? Like if you weren't able to get really anything going on offense, but I think you still saw enough to kind of get an idea of what these guys can be on the offensive side of the ball. It wasn't just so freaking dominant on one side that you walk away, you're like, man, I don't know. I don't know what we have on offense. I kind of feel like I got a pretty good idea. I think we're going to be a really physical run team. And when you couple yeah, in,
wants them to run the ball on Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's okay.
Well, two things that I think could happen. And again, I'm not a psychic that hasn't happened the last couple of years for Auburn. I think Auburn's going to be able to run the ball in the fourth quarter because of mindset, culture, attitude, conditioning. And I also think for the first time in a long time, this defense is going to be able to hold a lead. You don't have to want to get into a fourth quarter shootout and go back and forth because we never felt like we had a shot. Remember the feeling and the sinking feeling anybody took anytime someone took a lead in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
It was over. Well, how about just not letting somebody take a freaking lead in the fourth quarter? How about either extending the lead or knowing, not with this defense, get ready? Because that's what I think – they're moving towards. And so if that's the case, then I saw what I wanted to see Saturday.
I know a lot of people are hung up, and Zach, you mentioned it, on the bad snaps. Literally, like, if it was anybody other, and I did say that if it's anybody other than Cole Best, I'd be, you know, like, okay, that might be something to note. But I haven't gone back and watched a lot of South Florida football, but I don't really think that was a
– I mean, Golish seemed pretty shocked by it when he was talking about it after.
Yeah, it seemed something like incredibly out of character. I'm going to hit a couple of super chats, and then we'll get to the next topic. Reverend Barn Booster says, number one, don't sleep on Pettigrew. Zach, I believe you said he had your favorite catch of the game.
Yeah.
Two, he said, I said before we signed Deshaun Spencer, I've seen him play personally in high school and really reminds me of Ryan Davis. That's actually not a bad comp. I think he's a little bit more explosive, to be honest. And how good was Davis? Yeah, so that'd be a fun comp. I mean, didn't he have the record for most receptions?
Most catches in a year. Yeah.
In a year?
Yeah, 2017, right? That's and that's kind of what we thought Malcolm Simmons would be. Kyle, you said it. I hope you don't mind me sharing this.
No,
but
no.
In the box, when you know Spencer felt like he caught three passes in a row or something, like they were just feeding him over and over and over again behind the line. You made the comment Deshaun Spencer could be what we thought Malcolm Simmons was gonna be, and based off of the information we gathered Saturday, I'm all for getting the ball to the receivers at the line of scrimmage. They do that a lot. They do that with the outside guys. They have blockers set up. They do it with their slot guys. That's how they use Spencer on Saturday. I'm all for that. I'm all for that 100%. And that's what this offense is. You're going to force defensive backs to make one-on-one tackles over and over and over again. Corners don't like tackling. They don't.
And when never you have.
And a lot of safeties, like, I mean, you can hit 80%, but that 20% is what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
And when you have guys like Spencer or Nimrod or Singleton or Koger, like, they all present that matchup in a different way. Some of it's power and size, some of it's speed, some of it's shiftiness. And that's what this offense is built around. And we kind of saw a little bit of that on Saturday.
Well, I can tell you for a fact, and this isn't going to be a show just based upon Charlie Five stories, but I can tell you for a fact that Deshaun Spencer caught three balls in a row because I heard somebody to the left of you, Zach, saying, "Sir, sir," trying to get his MVP ballot back after Spencer caught three in a row because he wanted to change it.
Yeah, yeah. The guy collecting the MVP votes, he wanted them very early.
And Kyle shockingly early. Sir. Sir, it was like one catch, two catch, three catches.
Like the first drive of the third quarter, I'm like, "Oh, you're coming back for these already?"
Yeah.
And then the
offense and defense MVP.
I think I don't know.
I think Deshaun Spencer and Jared Smith won.
Jared,
correct us in the chat. I think that's correct.
The other thing too, real quick, the Ryan Davis comp. One of the things Ryan Davis was really, really good at, and we thought Malcolm Simmons was going to be good at, but he sometimes picked the wrong hole. Was catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage and making something happen. Ryan Davis was a master at it with the Jared Stidham little screen throwback the other way.
Minka Fitzpatrick, right? Was it Minka Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. So I think that Spencer showed some potential with that. And he also just has a knack that you can't teach on how to get open. I mean, he just does. So
it's a skill set. It really is. Zach Dixon says, who had Duke Smith having the only –
Zach Dixon is what it says.
Zach Dixon. I'm sorry. Not me. Haha. That he did. He had the only receiving touchdown. Well, technically one got called back, but he had a good one.
Yeah, what Nimrod had one.
Yeah. Zach, have you recovered from Duke's touchdown yet? Because you know what happened on that play, right?
Is that when your thigh rubbed against me?
it could have been. But your boy Fred Gaskin, he got him. He won that battle. Yeah.
You talk about, making safeties tackle in space. He did not tackle Duke Smith in space.
He did not. All right. So, we got another one. Barn Booster again. Cam was like 3 of 8 in A-Day, and I don't even think Nick Marshall played in A-Day. He didn't. A-Day is not meant to be over the top, amazing offense and defense, not worried in the slightest about.
That's too logical. That's too logical, Rev. Yeah.
Get out of here with logic.
Did Stidham play in an A-Day?
I can't remember now.
I can't either.
I want to say no. Am I wrong on that?
Why wouldn't he have, though?
Was it not something that he had? He took that year off because I remember they talked about him throwing the high school kids.
He was here for 2 years, so he would have had to have played in one.
Maybe he did.
We're saying like before the 2017 season?
Yeah, before we knew what we had.
I can't remember. I can't remember at all.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up. Before you, but like while you're doing that, another narrative or another concern that a lot of people had were in particular was the pass rush from the edge. Okay.
Stidham was 16 of 20 for 267 yards. Well, Stidham went off.
I think I do remember this because I think Nate Craig Myers had a big.
He did.
He was A-Day MVP, I think.
Yep. I don't know if he was MVP, but he had a name. Yeah.
I think I do remember that now. But Pat pass rush, Zach. That was one thing you had listed.
And Martin fumbled. Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pass rush in general. Jared Smith, that edge room in general. I was kind of bummed J.J. Falk didn't play. How do we feel going into, summer and fall about the pass rush just as a whole?
I don't think much different. Maybe a little bit better for sure. Yeah. But once again, like, we don't really know what they were going up against. These edge guys going up against, Joe Simmons, I think, did a good job. And then, a tackle who's, like, not going to be a starting, caliber tackle, I don't think. In this conference with Ty Buster on the other side. Like, I don't think he's at that point in his career yet. So like, I don't think we really know. And then also like a lot of us were in the box saying like, okay, they got credit for the sack, but like, I don't think that was a sack. Like, I'm not positive they really get
Dallas there. Walker got one that probably wouldn't have been a sack just because he kind of touched him.
Yeah. And then, there was kind of a discussion about one that Elijah Melendez was going to get back there for another. So I'm not,
you still feel the same?
Yeah, that's an incomplete for me.
Dad, what about you?
I'm a little bit surprised by the narrative that we heard so much about Womack all spring. Mm. And I'm not saying he played bad, but why did we not hear more about Jared Smith and Diaz? Because those two, and he got some pass rush too, Bryce did. So you know, I don't know if that's by design, if that's a motivational tool to get Smith and Bryce to play at a different level. So you mentioned the guy you're competing with, which is something coaches could do. But if Jared Smith plays like that and Womack is who everyone's making him out to be, including the coaches, and Falk comes in healthy, then I think it could be a strength. But again, that's a lot of ifs. I want to see it, but the Jared Smith narrative changes that for me, the way he played.
There, you know what? I didn't think about that until now. We really didn't hear Womack's name. It's not like
– Dude, there were a few defensive guys where I'm like – I'm kind of thinking about it last night, and I'm like, Deshaun Womack disappeared. Jordan Crawford, I didn't notice at all either.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting.
Let's see. Did Womack have any statistics? You know, and it, we don't know necessarily what his responsibilities were. It looks like he had one tackle. You know, we don't know all of his responsibilities. Is he primarily setting the edge? Is he primarily, you know, getting in the backfield? Jared was in the backfield quite a bit. I mean, he
lived there.
He made that.
Probably going to make him start paying rent because he was there so much.
Zach made a point a couple weeks ago. We don't know how this defensive staff is going to use a healthy Riddick. What does he do to change the whole pass rush narrative? Because 2 years ago, he was pretty dang effective when they just said, go see ball, go get ball. And he came off. Are they going to bring him off the
There's
edge?
There's a real chance. Wow. People aren't going to like me saying this. Y'all tell me how hot of a take this is. There's a real chance Riddick is linebacker 4 on this roster.
I don't know that there's a chance. I think that actually may be the case.
I mean, it has to be. At this point, the 3 we've seen have shown out. So, but that doesn't mean you can't use him in specialty situations like on 3rd and long or whatever, where you know it's completely going to be a pass play. You bring him in and use him as a specialist.
Guys, Bryce Diaz is so good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so unbelievably good.
He really is.
Such a like, we knew that the skill set was possible. I mean, he's definitely leaning more towards the ceiling that we talked about. But when he first committed and was part of this class, and we all knew how underranked he was, he screamed like nickel to me, like just kind of a rover that you put all over the field. And for him to be doing this, like, as but I guess it's a will, like a weak side linebacker, like, it's pretty amazing.
There were times we had 3 linebackers on the field. So he would go
when
out.
You have him.
Yeah.
It allows you to do stuff. And then especially if you have Atkins and you're sending him, and then you kind of have Elijah as your mic, like, there's a lot you can do with that.
He was out on the slot a couple of times. Like,
yeah, you can do that. You can almost treat him like he's a nickel.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind, I'd like to address this question real quick. James says, what's his name is Fred Gaskin phrase reference to? Yeah. His name is Fred Gaskin.
That's the reference. That's the whole reference.
That's his name. That's it.
Moving on. Quarterback play. There were a lot of people worried because of, I think, turnovers. That was kind of the theme throughout spring. And then there were some turnovers, obviously, in the game. Any of those in particular? There was one to me from Byram that was really, really bad. Like the one that he kind of sidestepped, and he threw it straight to Bryce Diaz. He picked out Chaz, like he found the open receiver, but he was so off kilter, like so off platform. That one was really bad. The one to Jared,
it was such a miss, Kyle, where I almost wonder if Chaz was wrong.
It goes back because it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, and like I told Daryl on the show that dropped this morning, like, you would think Byram could adjust mid-throw to that.
Yeah.
But it was so intentional to throw to that spot. I just almost wonder.
To the outside? He threw it to the outside of
where Chaz. Or just Chaz took too many steps before he stopped, right? So, yeah. I mean, we just don't. That's one where I would like to know how they eval that in film.
And the one to Jared just does not, like, that one doesn't bother me at all. Like, that, did that one bother you guys? Like, that to me was such a freak play.
The Jared Smith one?
The Jared Smith one.
Like, why would we ever pass from the 2-yard line with this team?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because if he's able to run live, he probably does something at mesh point on that and walks in like he should.
Yeah, now
he did two plays before.
I will say, and Daryl, like we talked about this multiple times now, I don't love the, like, he scored two plays prior because of the rep. Like, okay, the point of it is to, like, we all know he would have scored. They wanted to give him another rep. But I just wonder what all goes into that play, because he caught it and then he released it. Like if anything, I almost think that's on, you know, the play calling than it is.
Well, someone said, so.
Or it's on the tackle, because like in that situation, you normally kind of like block them low so they have to put their hands down for a second. Like, I don't know how much of that is on Byram, if I'm being honest with you.
And someone said earlier in the chat, and I didn't see this, but Jared said that they knew that play was coming.
Of course they did.
And that's exactly. That's why defenses are better than offenses in spring, because you're installing stuff on the offensive side and the defense, you're just kind of reacting.
A lot of us played high school football, right? Like, by the end of spring, you know what the opposing, whether you're, you know, an underclassman on a scout team or, you know, like, you know what the plays are. Like, you just know.
Yeah.
And they're doing it at a detailed level far more than that. Like, yeah, how do you not know?
I don't want to feed into a narrative that I think is overblown and ridiculous, but I will say this. When you're throwing a pop pass like this over the top on a screen, throwing motion matters. And that's the absolute worst time to have a quarterback that throws sidearm in a situation like that on a screen pass. So
throw it to his left.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I mean, it's this and not down here. And so, again, the path
is closer to the defender if you're getting the ball and throwing it that way. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's hard to dump it over his head.
When you're down here. And so that's something that even, again, the defense knew that, could read arm angle, bam.
But then on the first play of the game, though, was a, like, he dumped it over the top to the tight end. So I get what you're saying. I think that was just a freak play. Like, I really don't know how much I want to put stock into that.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, that's the Jared Smith I've been begging for every day on my show.
I'm way more positive about Jared Smith there than I am negative about.
But that's not the stat line, right? The stat line is Byron Brown threw two picks. There's no context to it. Reverend asking, did we do any 2-minute drills? And, like, I'm kind of, like, almost chuckling a little bit at that, because it's hard to explain because it's so different from what we've seen. But, like, for those who weren't there, and some people are talking about it that we saw at the tailgate, the tempo on offense was unbelievable.
Everything was a 2-minute drill.
Everything was a 2-minute. It was so stinking fun to see. It was just bang, 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 bang. I mean,
Zach, think about great.
What, and trying to get numbers when they're on the other end of the field from that end of the press box.
Yeah. We're trying to keep everybody that subscribes over at thebarnauburn.com. Like, you know, I'm trying to do play by play for it. And it's like, goodness gracious, this is so fast.
What's one word you could use to describe last year's offense?
Like, gross.
Okay. That's good. Disorganized is one.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Yes.
And like when you watch, literally, when the whistle is blown and you're seeing everybody in unison on the line of scrimmage and looking back, lined up for the next play, like, immediately, it is insane. I mean, I know it's a lot of different guys, but it's insane how well that thing is working right now. Like, the tempo is crazy.
There's a major difference between 11 guys out there running plays and 11 guys out there running an offense. And the difference is pretty astounding on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Any fights on Saturday, Derek?
I'm about to share a story that's even more astounding than that.
Before you start, Derek.
No, buckle, like, up.
It is a blessing every single day that I'm still a credentialed media member. I'm a walking disaster. So
you're pushing it. You're pushing it. You're making them bring it up. You're coming up in conversations, I'm sure, when they're meeting about it.
Well, we'll
get a text about this show, I bet. Probably tomorrow morning.
Gather around, boys and girls. Get your snacks. Get your popcorn ready, because I've got a great tale to tell. Because it's better from me and Zach's perspective, even though Kyle was in it. So a little backstory, a little backdrop, a little background. We're not going to mention names. We're going to keep this above board. There is a particular media member of a statewide organization, not a team-based website. It's a allegedly neutral media affiliation that has been known on social media to take unnecessary jabs at Auburn, but does not do that at Alabama. He's been known to ask very controversial questions that are gotcha questions, that are slams, that are negative, that are very, very biased in press conferences for coaches like DJ Durkin when he arrives, but doesn't ask Saban the same question when he hired him as a consultant. I've had my run-ins with this cat on X a little bit, pointing out his hypocrisy, especially when his profile picture was a picture of the field that says Alabama in the end zone. So you can't tell me you're neutral, Ryan Denny. Right? Yeah. You can't tell me you're neutral when you do those kind of things. Just wear it. I've always told them, just wear it. Say it with your chest.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the press box. We're watching the game. It's late. And I look at Kyle and Zach and I say, wow, look at that. Defense has given up 63 points. And Kyle is a joke.
Yeah.
Total joke.
And yeah, Kyle, ridiculous scoring.
Because of the scoring thing.
Yeah, like 65-38 at the time.
That Golish even called out Warsaw on.
That was hilarious.
So Kyle, in his infinite wisdom says, yeah, I could just see it now. Blank organization. Well, the headline will read, Durkin's defense gives up 65 points.
Yeah.
I look at Zach, I look at Kyle, and blank organization, guys, is sitting directly behind Kyle, like right behind him. So I lean forward and I say, Kyle, they're right behind you. That's not enough, folks. I tried to save him. Kyle, he doubles down and names the writer that's behind him.
He goes, because I love the Auburn guys.
Yeah, you like the Auburn guys. He goes, no, not that, but blank sure is going to say it. And I went, that's who's behind you. So now blank leans forward. He goes, I'm right here. What'd you say about me? Zach's crying. He's laughing so hard. I'm a person that's not afraid of confrontation, but I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. I ain't going to lie to you. Guys, Kyle turns around in his chair, wears it, says it with his chest. I said that when you write the story tomorrow, you're going to say Durkin gives up 65 points. I said it and turns back around. I was like, here we go. So that's part one, right? Part one. I'm thinking it's over.
Yeah.
Right?
A few minutes go by, like, 10, 15 minutes go by, and we're like, okay, it's over.
The blood starts to leave Kyle and Zach's face. The redness, the flushness goes out of our bodies. I'm thinking it's done. So we all kind of I'm reading the room, and I'm like, let's get out of here and get down to the field. And
Zach's in shambles, by the way.
So that there's
Zach
no
wants to be anywhere but around us.
We don't want any uncomfortable.
All my interactions with the guy have been like super positive. Like, I don't want to, like, I like the guy, so I didn't really want to make an issue. I didn't want to like hurt that relationship.
The last thing we wanted was to cross paths on the way to the elevator, get stuck in the elevator. Well, guess what? Spoiler alert. I think he was watching, and when we get to the elevator, Cat Daddy sprints behind us and is so insecure about what was said about him, he has to bring it up again. And I wanted to turn around and go, he just told you.
I already said it once.
It's not a secret. I mean, he didn't do it in Morse code. He told you right to your face. I mean, there's no, you know, misunderstanding. Well, the conversation starts outside the elevator. And Kyle turns around and doubles that, triples down and says, just like that time, Durkin's defense. You're going to write that story, and you might write a story that he got his second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. Well, now the dude has no idea what Kyle's referring to, but it's a major sham.
It's a callback.
Slam. It was a callback to when he said Durkin shouldn't get a second chance. Well, then we get on the elevator. It don't stop. The conversation continues. So I kind of ease in between. Like, I'm trying to, like, get in between because I'm thinking Kyle may, so we just have this conversation. He is so worried about what Kyle was saying and just keeps bringing it up. And, that's me, Mr. Negative, and we're like, So we get off the elevator.
Then the elevator door opens, and I'm like,
can I explain how slow that elevator was? Holy cow. I didn't think we were ever going to get off.
Well, you talked about going all the way down to how long it took to get to the bottom floor. Our poor elevator operator, who I like, sweet girl, she almost hit the wrong button. That really would have killed us because he would have stopped at floor two. We would have had a longer interaction. I'm like, no, express. Well, we get off the elevator.
So we finally get there, and y'all like kind of sprint on ahead, and he's like walking a little slower. And
I wasn't sprinting. Kyle was ahead. I was in the middle, and then you were right behind me.
He's texting me. He's loving the story.
Who is?
Shout out to Farm Data. Thank you
for supporing the show.
So I hear behind me. This is what I hear. Kyle's in front of me.
And we get out of the elevator, though, and he turns around and looks at me. He's like, so, Zach, how's it going?
How you doing, Zach?
I'm like, I'm good, man.
Love the show. Then he comes up to me because I'm walking with him.
He's like, man, anytime we get to cover a football game, it's good. I'm like,
And then he comes up to me, and I'm walking with a boot, trying to go as fast as I can, hobbling so I can get away with him and catch up with Kyle, who looked as fast as Nimrod. He ran like a 4.240 to the field, and he walks up to me, and he's like, hey, Daryl, nice day, sunny day. And I'm going, this guy just does not – get it. There's no self-awareness.
What was funny is one time it got quiet on the elevator. Like, it's kind of one of those awkward silences. And then Zach just busts out in laughing.
I just couldn't handle it. I was like, this is hilarious.
It was.
I'm just going to say,
Kyle owned it. He said it with his chest. He just absolutely.
You know how you get in a confrontation sometimes. And it's harmless, guys. It's not like we were like about to fight or anything.
No, it wasn't like that.
But sometimes you get in a confrontation and you leave the confrontation and you're like, dang, man, I wish I would have said this. You know what I mean? Like, that happens all the time. I think I nailed everything I wanted to say.
No, there was nothing left unsaid.
Like, it was like I had been prepared for that moment my whole life, like that confrontation my whole life.
Well, then he gets home and I guess follows you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, he does.
That's so him. I mean, you couldn't have had an earpiece in your ear and somebody feeding you what to say.
Yeah.
More than what, I mean, so yeah, it was funny. We tried to save you. Little uncomfortable at first, not gonna lie. And then elevators.
I'm like, no, not them. This guy. And
who's behind you?
I'm like, God.
And like literally behind me, like if you line the chairs down, like the seats, he was literally right behind me. It was so funny. God, that's so funny. Yeah, no, not them. This guy. Oh, yeah.
It says it loud. And his last name is so unique that he put the emphasis on the second syllable when he said it. That you couldn't have been a PA announcer and said bleep, bleep, bleep any better than that. I mean, it was, I don't want to now give it away, but there is a phonetic way to say it and say it with your chest. And boy, there was no mistake. And that name doesn't just roll off your tongue. Yeah. It's not a,
it's good. There stuff. You go. It's my, right. probably my last time in the press box.
So no, you good.
It was memorable. So, Every day that I'm on borrowed time, but no, appreciate everybody for, letting us do this. So, or letting me,
do we want to do a few minutes of questions? If anybody wants to send any like super chats or anything, or any members want to ask anything.
I want one thing real quick before we do this. I do want to thank everybody. First of all, I want to thank Ford for what he did.
Ford Stokes, man.
Ford Stokes. Thank you. And then I want to thank everybody personally for coming out to that tailgate and how much it meant to all of us to meet all of you, to know you support what we do. It sounds cliche, But it's humbling, and it's very, very important to understand that people, it matters. And I don't take any of that for granted.
No.
Well said.
No, I mean, Zach and I, like, no joke, like, we got into the press box, and we just were sitting in quiet, like, it was just quiet, like, just didn't have any idea that that would be, the turnout would be what it was, and y'all made that, that's one of the most special days I've ever had.
Incredibly humbling.
And it was an A day, one of the most special days I've ever had at an Auburn event. So shout out to Ford again for handling that or locking that down and having that idea. And then everybody that showed up, it was a blast, an absolute blast. Hey, some of the regulars that are in here every day, you know, they come up and, like, we know who they are when they say their name, because y'all are in every premiere and at every Barncast. Had Jacob J. He was like, "Hey Kyle, check your email." And I was like, "I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who you are." And then, you know, the conversations about who's sent the best memes during a Barncast were fantastic. Like, "Hey, I sent the Pound Town graphic," or "Hey, I did this." Like, that stuff is just, it was just awesome.
Yeah. It's what makes the community, the community. And that's what, like, you don't find, you know, what you guys have created. I mean, this is more on y'all than it is on us. Like, y'all are the one who have the personality and the jokes and make the memes and create the inside jokes. So that's what makes the community special. And you guys have definitely fueled all that. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Anything else to add before we head out of here?
No, I got to jump off, but I can't wait to do a tailgate when Auburn hosts a playoff game someday.
Someday.
Think about that.
It's going to happen. It just
is. Yeah, it'd be great.
Guys, thank y'all again. We're out of here.